guides. They are the works of men, but you are the Most High God. There is none like you.
All other
guides, they are the works of men, but you are the Most High God.
There is none like you. Jehovah,
you are the Most High. You are the Most High God.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High. You are the Most High God.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High.
You are the Most High God.
You are the Most High God.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High.
You are the Most High.
You are the Most High.
All
other guides, they are the works of men,
but you are the Most High God.
You are the Most High God.
There is none like you.
All other guides,
they are the works of men.
They are the works of men.
But you are.
You are the Most High God.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High. You are the Most High God.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High.
You are the Most.
You are the Most High God.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High.
You are the Most High.
You are the Most High God.
Mercies forever, hallelujah. You are good and your mercies forever, hallelujah. Come on and sing with me.
You are good and your mercies forever, hallelujah. Mercy forever, hallelujah.
You are good
and your mercy forever, hallelujah.
You are good
and your mercy forever, hallelujah. You are good and your mercy forever, hallelujah.
One more time, you are good.
Hallelujah.
You are good.
You are good and your mercies forever. Hallelujah.
Let's do it one more time. You are good.
You are good and your mercies forever. Hallelujah. You are good and your mercies forever.
Jesus.
God, we love you in this place and we magnify your name. I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Let's declare it. I was sinking
deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Waters lifted me,
your love that lifts us daily. We know that you said that greater love has no man than he laid down his life for his friends. And we thank you for your love. And this morning, we are here to declare our love for you, God. We love you, and we declare that we will love you forever. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. Come on and sing with me.
I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
You're singing your love song to the Father this morning.
I love you forever.
I love you.
I love you forever. Forever.
love you forever, Lord.
I love you.
I love you forever. Forever. I love you forever.
I love you.
I love you forever, Lord.
I worship forever.
I worship
and ever
forever.
And ever. Forever, Lord.
Continue singing. I worship forever.
Worship.
We're singing to
forever.
Our Father.
I worship forever.
We worship you, Jesus.
Forever,
we give you honor
Lord,
and glory that's due to your name.
Worship
we worship
forever.
You, Father.
Worship
you are worthy
forever.
To be praised. Hallelujah,
forever,
hallelujah.
Lord,
one more time, I worship
forever. I worship forever. I worship forever, Lord.
I worship forever. I worship you forever. I worship forever, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name, God. We worship you, Jesus. You are worthy of our praise. You've been so good. We honor you with our worship. We honor you with our praise. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just enjoy Jesus right now.
Hallelujah.
Just you and him. We worship your name, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Father, thank you that you've been so generous in everything that you do. Thank you for your generous love and your kindness to us, God. Father, today we thank you for your presence. Father, we simply honor you. We declare you as God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that washed away every stain. And today, Father, we thank you that we have the right to come before your throne boldly. Lord, this morning we don't come with need or want, but God, we come with give. We want to worship you because we love you. And God, we can't thank you enough for all you have done in our lives. You're so faithful. You're so faithful. We love you this morning. We love you this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Don't you love being in the presence of Jesus? You know, I think that that is the greatest thing that we have. And one of the things that you have to protect is the anointing. To protect the presence of God so that he can come whenever he wants, do whatever he wants. I think one of the greatest crimes is when we actually believe it's our church. Amen. It's not even our service. It's his service. It's his church. We're his people. And he loves us so much. Amen. Why don't you go to find five or six folks that you don't know and say, good morning. I just want you to know, tell somebody that Jesus loves them this morning. Now, don't be a snob. Don't go just go to the people you know. Go to folks you don't know this morning. Come on, go find somebody you don't know this morning. Come on, make sure you say hello to somebody you don't know. Shake their hand and say, Jesus loves you.
If you haven't already signed up for Step 1, make sure you register today. And if you've already been through Step 1 in Rock Solid Faith, make sure you sign up for Step 2 and get registered today. You can go online at histabernacle.com or come right here in the foyer and sign up at the hub. Make sure you sign up for Next Steps, get registered, and start growing.
Here at His Tabernacle, we appreciate our volunteers. And to show our appreciation, we are hosting a breakfast for our volunteers, February 25th at 9 a.m. See your ministry leader for more details.
His Tabernacle, I am back again. If you have a talent, dancing, singing, acting, sound or audio visual. Listen, if you have these talents, I want you to meet us here on February 25th at 10 a.m. For more information on how to prepare yourself, hit me at Pastor Johnson at histabernacle.com.
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. It's so good to be home. Last week we were in 90-degree weather. It was too hot to go riding bicycle. Yeah, it's not that hot here. No. I guess we could all just end there, right? The church in Campeche wanted to say hello. Pastor Patricio and his beautiful wife, Claudia. It's not Claudia, it's Claudia. They all wanted to say hello. The whole congregation there, they love you, and they consider you part of their family. So if you start getting people on your Facebook that speak Spanish from Campeche, Google Translate is your friend. Amen. I mean, I'm talking like the interpreter wasn't there a few times. And so here we are, my wife and I, and, you know, Spanish is very minimal. And so Google Translate became the love of our life. You speak it, you hand it. The lady speaks in her own voice and says what you want. And then they repeat it, and they just go back and forth. You can have full conversations. Amen. So we want to say it's so good to be home. We know that many aren't here this morning because of the weather. It's very unique that the people that have traveled the furthest are the ones that are here. Can I hear it for all those that have traveled an hour? Amen. I think there are at least 7 or 8 folks here that have traveled 1 hour to be here for church this morning. And I just want to give you honor. Thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord. Pastor Rhonda.
Our time in Campeche was the most productive time that we've had so far. We went down preparing for the Salvation Crusade with Tiff Shuttlesworth in October, and there was phenomenal breakthrough. Yes. Much like this area, the pastors don't really connect or get together at all. So a history-making moment happened on Saturday. We had invited all of the pastors to come out to a breakfast, and 13 different churches came and participated, and they're going to be helping out with the crusade. And more are going to come from it because Pastor just has such an awesome way of sharing the gospel, and they are really excited. Just the favor of God on every single aspect. We also were able to get the brand new convention center
for half
the price of what we were paying for the other one, and an extra day.
Yes, and parking.
So God just moved absolutely powerfully. The pastors are so excited to participate with us.
We're believing, God, that every church that's participating will double in size by next October. Amen? And so you're a big part of that. If you want to go on this missions trip, it's in late October. The details, we're going to make them available within the next month. And if you want to go to that, you're more than welcome. It's a very inexpensive missions trip, and it is going to be phenomenal as we're going to be sharing the gospel. During the daytimes, you'll be able to go out and invite people to the house of God, invite people to the crusade with Brother Tiff. And then in the evenings, you'll participate with the service, helping with salvations. It's just going to be so much fun. You don't want to miss it. If you are also a nurse or a dentist or a doctor or a practitioner, they're making that available as well. The governor actually is going to provide the medical stuff. Isn't that interesting? The governor of Campeche is willing to offer the medical, whatever we need medically to help people. And then dentist-wise, we have a gentleman in the church in Campeche. His name is Freddie, who is a dentist, and he's offering his services as well. So we just want to invite anybody who wants to go on the mission trip. You're going to have such a great time, and it'll be a life-transforming experience for you.
Amen. A couple of quick announcements. Annual business meeting will be right after second service today. And the Rock Solid Faith graduation tonight had to be postponed. Our guests are traveling from Rochester, and with the weather, we didn't want to risk anything, and we wanted to be respectful of them. Also, you can sign up for Empowering Pastors Conference in the foyer this morning. It is 60% off for the church body, and also to partner with Uproar. Uproar is looking to get 200 partners at only $20 a month to be able to fund every year this free conference that this year we've moved it to the arena. So make sure you partner with Uproar in the foyer today. Find your paperwork and commit to $20 a month. Okay, amen. And then read your bulletin. There's so much going on. The tithes and offerings. Let me read the word of God. Romans 5:5. It says, such hope, our faith in God, never disappoints or deludes or shames us. It is awesome to know that we will never be disappointed in our God. And Isaiah 48 says, the Lord will teach you to profit. The Lord will teach you to profit. Through his word and his principles, he teaches us through tithing and sowing, seed time and harvest, how to profit. And he never disappoints. When we choose to make our finances holy by giving our tithe, our 10% that belongs to God, then we are blessed. If we ask anything, we will receive. The devourer is rebuked. God will not disappoint us. This is his word, simply the scripture, and we are believers in the word of God. So in order to get a different result, you have to do something different than you've done before. Maybe you've never tithed. Maybe you've never been able to move to a place of being able to profit in your life. If you do something different, you'll get different results. If you obey the word of God, it says it will not disappoint you. He will teach you to profit. So today I challenge you to, if you've never done it before, to tithe. And then I challenge you to not only tithe, but to sow. We have so many events coming up. We have special seed envelopes in the aisles that will be passed down through. We have so many events coming up. Empowering Pastors Summit. This is such a phenomenal time. We aren't only ministering to the body of Christ, the business place, the marketplace ministers in our area, but also other pastors coming in. And just like being in Campeche, we were able to touch 14 different churches in one meeting and have such a powerful impact that will last and go on and on. And that's what Empowering Pastors Summit is about. Having these pastors come in and be refreshed and be infused. We have Bishop Thomas coming and he is teaching on financial principles. And whenever I can get around somebody that's super successful in their finances, I want to know what they've done to get what they've got. And I want that impartation on my life. So we're bringing these pastors in, and many times pastors are crippled because of finances. So we need to get the word of God on success in finances infused in them, increase their faith, and send them back into their communities. So we have so much to sow into. Uproar Youth, we have Rock the City, we have so many outreaches going on. I think the amount that we need for all of those is only $90,000. Now you say only. With a congregation our size, that is so minimal. If everybody just hears from God and with your first fruits, with your sowing and your seed, gives whatever God, it might be the two mites that the widow gave, or it might be the wad that the rich man gave. Whatever it is you have to give, sow, and the word of God says, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. We have an awesome testimony next week for you. I can't wait for you to hear somebody's personal testimony of how they tithe and sow, and God does not disappoint. Amen? So if you're already a tither and a sower in the house, I want to hear you respond to that. God does not get disappoint. I don't know if I believe you. God does not disappoint. All right, stand to your feet. Let's give our tithes and sow our seed. We'll make our supernatural declaration. This is the word of God. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, oh, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God and I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and your offerings to the Lord this morning.
The Lord. I love that song. I don't know how you can't move. You got to move something. Amen? You got to move something. I mean, I'm from New England, and they're stoic up there, but you still got to move something. Amen? Now, tomorrow morning, for those who are seniors, that's anybody over 50, AARP age, I got my card in the mail the other day. Isn't that crazy? But I think I'm going to do it because you save so much money. It's really just amazing. So if you're a senior, tomorrow morning is breakfast at the Crack at 9 a.m. And please keep your eyes open to Facebook, because if the weather is too poor, then we will not be having it tomorrow. But we want to just make sure that you are aware. We'd love to invite everybody. I think last time we had over 20 people. Yeah, it was really exciting, and it's fun. You get to meet people, and you know, some people are just so snobby. Turn to someone and say, I'm not a snob. We'd love to have you come on out. 2 weeks ago, I started preaching a message, and it was the principles of, is your God generous or is your God poor? Is your God generous or is your God poor? Is your God generous or is your God poor? Remember, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And then he spoke to Peter, but who do you say that I am? You see, that's the key, is who you say Jesus is. Perception is everything. Perception is how you interact with God. It's how, what's that? You want to sit by that God over there? Sure, grab your chair. See if Nick will grab your chair. Boy, you're ugly. That's all I got to say about that. How you perceive God is how you interact with God. Now, we preached this 2 weeks ago. So the question is not whether you were in church 2 weeks ago. The question is whether God's word got in your spirit and you started changing 2 weeks ago. You see, the issue with every preacher is not that we don't have another sermon in our pocket. You drop me a title, I'll preach you a sermon. I've been doing it almost 30 years. I can preach an hour to 2 hours in 10 seconds. Just give me a topic and here we go. But you see, the message that God lays on our heart is not so that we can preach another sermon. It's not about preaching another sermon. It's about you and I getting it. It's about you and I stepping into it. It's about you and I living in the blessing of it. Can I hear an amen? Come on, right online. Many of you this morning are watching live stream. You're watching live stream because of the weather. But I need you to get a hold of this, because I'm not interested in preaching another sermon. I can preach any day I want. I can preach wherever I want. I was talking to someone the other day, and they thought I was asking to preach preach at their conference. I'm not asking to preach at anybody's conference. If I want to preach, I can preach 5 days a week. There's no question how much I can preach. But the passion here at His Tabernacle Family Church is bringing you and I to a place where we understand the Word of God, where we start living the Word of God. And in these last days, there's a necessity to purge out of our spirit the religiosity that our God is poverty-stricken and that He cannot, will not, and should not meet our needs. I want you to know today that your God is not poor, but your God is generous. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Our verse for the year is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. And the generous soul shall be made rich. Turn to someone and say, I want to be rich. Well, I just want enough. Listen, you'll never find somebody more stingy than when the religious folks say this. I love this. They don't say it to me anymore. But they used to come up and say, well, I'm just believing God just for enough to be able to pay my bills. Hallelujah. And they think it makes them spiritual. It doesn't make you spiritual. It makes you stingy. Because if you only have enough to meet your needs, how can you meet anybody else's needs? If you only have enough just to survive, then how can you thrive? You see, we must change the mindset of the religious that have permeated the body of Christ and get back to the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm believing that today as we're getting into part two of this message, is your God generous or is your God poor? That it will start to transition even how you pray, transition how you walk. Because the Bible says, boy, you're getting kind of slow out there this morning. I said the, not religion, not church, not tradition, not your mom, not your dad, not your aunt, not your uncle, not your mama, not your father. The what? The Bible says that the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So today, we can purge out the mindset. God wants you blessed and not poverty-stricken. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, God wants me blessed. The word rich there is not talking about rich in spirit. It's talking about rich in pocket. I know these religious cows, they're hard to kill. But I'm pulling out the double op buck this morning. Because it's time to get the word of God in your spirit. It's time to purge out the religiosity. You are not more spiritual because you have less. Money is not the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible says that money answers all things. You see, the word transitions us from the religious mindset that gets us to the place where it's okay to have nothing. In fact, you're more spiritual if you have nothing, and you got to get against those people that have more than you. And whether we like it or not, many of us have a mindset with people that are more blessed than we are. We won't say it out loud. We won't say that we're jealous, but we act differently towards them. We treat them differently. There is a strong prejudice because they have more worldly goods. But I'm here to tell you, worldly goods will never get you to heaven. Can I hear an amen? But worldly goods are a blessing while you're here. You see, God wants you to have more than enough so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. So when you and I live, poverty God, come back. Poverty God, we love you, come back. Poverty God, you're beautiful. Oh, we'll move over here. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Verse 6, and says this, but without faith, turn to someone and say, I've got faith. The Bible says you've all been given a measure of faith. Everybody in this room has faith. You drove to church this morning with faith. You're sitting in a chair this morning with faith. The Bible says it is impossible. Turn to someone and say, it is not even possible. I've had someone say to me, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Someone said to me, you're one of those hyper-faith churches. And I said, well, amen. They meant it as a teardown. I said, well, glory to God. That's a great compliment. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the more faith I have, the more trust I have, the more I believe God and believe God is God's word, I please him more. So call me hyper-faith all you want. I want to have so much trust in my daddy that what he says in his word, I will not turn from the right or the left. I'll lay hold of the promises of God because God's word is yea and amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It doesn't matter what others believe. It matters what you believe. It doesn't matter what your experiences are. It matters what the word says. You see, we all have to come to this understanding. Just like you cannot be saved for somebody, you cannot bring this transition to somebody. Just like somebody, you cannot just talk them into being saved. You cannot just talk somebody out of the poverty mentality, the spirit of poverty that has permeated the body of Christ. There must be a revelation, and the revelation comes as the word of God is released and exposed to the spirit man, where all of a sudden now we grasp a hold of what the Bible says, because so many of us will see the same situation, and one will be changed and one will not. This is something I see on a consistent basis in the body of Christ. I can stand up here and I can preach the word, and somebody will get it here, and the next person next to them will not get it at all. Where one will change and one will not. How come that happens? Because one puts faith in the word and the other has just heard the word. There's one thing about hearing, and there's one thing about doing. There's one thing about just listening, and there's another activity to where we apply it to our lives. You see, I'm not here to preach another sermon. I'm here to apply the Word of God to our life as salve to a wound that you have on your body. As God would bring medication into your life, He can restore your soul. He can restore and rebuild you so that you and I think the way He thinks. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus pleased the Father because He had faith. What do you mean He had faith? He trusted that what God told him to do, he could do. Where God told him to go, he would go. How he was releasing the power, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, you look at the children of Israel and you look at Moses. Can you imagine that day being 2.5 million people and Moses brings you up to the Red Sea? It's not even possible to cross it. But yet God, by his power, when Aaron's budded rod comes down, it opens up the Red Sea and they walk across on dry ground. And then all of a sudden, all the 2.5 million people saw the rolling back of the water. It wasn't something that was hidden. The waters rolled back. The ground that they walked upon was dry ground. And they walked across, and they're there on the other side. But something happened, and this is where we need to get a revelation from God. Moses had enough faith to continue in the miraculous power because he saw the generosity of our God to get him out of situations. But the children of Israel did not have that revelation. They saw the same act of God. They saw the same miracle of God. They saw the same supernatural release of heaven on this earth. But it did not change them. The 12 spies who were sent in to spy out the promised land, only 2 came back with the good report. But they all heard the word of the Lord that wherever you set your feet, that is where you're going to have. They all heard the word of the Lord that said, if God is for you, who can be against you? They all heard the word of the Lord. But you see, they all saw the same thing but came back with a different report. Why? Because perception is everything. Who do you say that he is? And the word of God declares, you must believe that he is. Because who you believe he is how you interact with him. You gonna get saved today? The Bible says without faith. Now let me share with you my struggle. Is that fair? You don't mind me being transparent. My struggle has always been not that God isn't good and not that God isn't generous, but that I've got to earn it myself. That there's an earning. I've got to be either good enough or I've got to pray more. I remember one time I had an evangelist in our church, in my last church, and it was a Monday night service, in which was miracle night. And he told me to pick him up that evening. And so I went down to Ithaca and I picked him up. And on the way back to the church, I said to him, I said, hey, man of God, you know, what did you do? Fast all day? Did you pray all day since tonight is miracle night? And he looked at me and he shook his head and he says, you just don't get it, do you? I said, what do you mean? He says, you can't earn the gift of God. You'll never be good enough for the gift of God. It is free. The Bible says, as freely as you have received, freely give. You see, the mind of generosity is not that somebody has earned it. The mind of generosity is that you are positioned for it. That sounded almost too simple. It is not that you can earn it. It's that you're positioned for it. And many of us never position ourselves because of our perception. We see God as the God with the hammer waiting to bash our head in it because when we sin, he's not going to take it and he's going to destroy us. We see him as this poverty-stricken God who himself, when you pray, he cannot produce. He's unable to do what you've asked him to do. When you ask him for a healing, he says, get in line. Maybe you'll be lucky enough when the chimes come around. When you ask him, oh God, I need you to move in my life, he says, well, I'm busy. Or I've got to wash my clothes. Or you see him for who he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no lack. There is no loss. There is nothing that he does not have. He is the God of all. There is nothing that he will not produce. He is the supernatural King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His ear is not deaf. His arm is not short. He longs to bless his babies. It's time to have a transformation in our spirit. You can either serve that God or you can serve the true God. See, this is all how you and I look at God. This has nothing to do with who he is. That's the interesting part, isn't it? It doesn't change who he is. He is who he is. I am who I am, is what he said. It's what? It's what they made you. We've made him, you know, I started writing a book many years ago. Started writing a lot of books many years ago. It was called God Abuse. That was the title of the book, God Abuse. How God gets blamed for so many things he has nothing to do with. And it's time to get back to really understanding who your daddy is. Some of you had very poor natural dads. Some of you had dads that were completely absent. Some of you had abusive dads. Some of you had dads that were present but completely absent. Some of you had dads that when you talked to them, they shunned you. Some of you had dads that they always made you jump through hoops to get his love. Some of you, man, we can go through the list of all the abnormalities, and that's the exact word that needs to be said, of what a true father is, because our Father in heaven is our true Father. He is the one who has all that we need. He is encapsulation of all the love that can be acquired. He loves you. He is generous. He is passionate for you. He is there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Some of us, we have to have a change in our spirit. You see, the Bible says, what was that? The what? For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Well, I'm going to pray and I just hope he hears me. Well, I'm going to pray and I'm just hoping it works for me. Well, you know, I'm going to pray and, you know, I'm just believing that, you know, maybe he will just move on my behalf. And, you know, I'm just really hoping that the Lord will change my situation. It's all about you, baby. This is the issue. He is God. He changes not. He has not changed from the Garden of Eden. How he dealt with man has had to change because of sin that came to fruition. But Jesus became the cross bearer so that you and I don't need to carry the same curse. He has opened up the very openness of the Holy of Holies that we can enter in. You see, the true God is the one who is there the same way he was for Adam and Eve. And in garden, there was nothing lacking, nothing missing, and nothing broken. You see, we've got to get back to truly believing. It's not who you say that he is, that's absolutely true. Who is he? It's where. Thank you. Wow. Well, Pastor, I believe in God. I love God. And there's no question that you do. Or you wouldn't have come out on this snowy morning. But just because you believe in God does not mean you know God. Just because you believe in God does not mean you know God. You might know this God. But you don't know this God. Because you've placed your belief systems on your experiences. You place your belief system on your earthly father. You place your belief system on the religiosity that you were taught as a child. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there must be a transformation. There must be a transition. There must be an apocalypsis. There must be a revelation. There must be an illumination in your spirit, man. Because God is good and not bad. God loves you and not wanting to curse you. God is always present. He's not avoiding you. He's calling you. And it's time to respond to the good God. Can I hear an amen again? You see, the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19, you believe there's one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Even the demons believe in God. So it's not just you got to believe in him, you've got to know him. John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. You see, the true understanding of God is knowing him, not just knowing about him, not knowing what religion has said about him, but knowing him, knowing how he thinks, knowing how he walks, knowing how he talks, knowing how he blesses, knowing how he disciplines. Knowing him means that there's a revelation that is coming, that when you come into access with the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he is not there trying to pin you down and destroy you, but he's there to lift you up and to build you, to strengthen you. He is a generous God and he loves his people. See, is your God distant? Is your God stingy? Is your God poor in power that when you pray for help, he's unable to be there? Is your God a penny pincher God? That every time you need something from him, you've got to go figure it out yourself. Is your God so tight-fisted that when it's time for forgiveness because you've screwed up so many times, that he's unwilling to help you? Whether you like it or not, you have a true concept of God in your life. But is it the one true God that you believe in? Or is it the religious God you believe in? Is he a good God to your life? Or is he just the one that gets you out of hell? See, this is where this whole relationship shifts in our life. Because you no longer are just subjected to the king where you got to bow down and kiss his feet all the time. It's not that you don't pay homage. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're giving him honor. You're declaring his holiness. But Father God, he wants a relationship. Jesus prayed this way in John 17. He said, let them be one, Father, like we are one. Father God wants you to be one with him. Well, I can't survive. Yes, you cannot survive with the belief in the God that you have. Because he won't help you. They don't get it. You see, the fact is we must believe that he is. That determines the faith level where you release. You see, if you're praying and you're saying, God, I'm hoping you're going to do this for me because I need you. Whether you realize it or not, you're releasing faith. Faith activates what you're believing for. So guess what you're getting? I don't know, and neither do you. Good luck. But when you go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you go to the one that the earth is his very footstool, when you go to the one who has the power to heal, the power to save, the power to deliver, the power to love, the power to be there, the power of presence, when you come before the one true God and you have the access, all of the heavenlies that are in front of you, you don't go there with the faith of saying, I hope it will work. You come with a boldness before the throne of God and you declare, God, I thank you for your covenant. I thank you for your promises. They are yea and amen. And I declare your word over my life. Not my word, not your word, not a church's word. I declare the word of the Lord, for God cannot lie. Can I hear an amen? I said, God cannot lie. And when you get a hold of the word of God, you go before his throne boldly. And God loves when you come before him boldly. It's not making him, he longs to. Because he's generous. And he's a rewarder. The word reward means to actually pay a wage. Isn't it interesting that when you go to him, he'll pay you a wage, all right? You're going to be in fear. You're going to be in torment. You're going to be in survival mode. You're going to have to rely upon all that this world has because that's all that you got. You're not too far off. Or you go to the God, the King of Kings, the true Lord, the true one who is in the Word of God that has all that he has for you as his heir and as his joint heir. When you come before him, it is not just survival, but you put your faith in the one who's actually able to release heaven to earth. You put your faith in the one who's actually able to release a supernatural blessing. You release your faith into the one who's able to heal your body, who's able to save you from situations, who's able to save you from your sin. He's able and he's willing and he's longing. Where are you placing your faith? The Bible says very clearly in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, to whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Isaiah 59, verse 1, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear your call. He is so generous with his love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with an unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. Romans chapter 8, 38 through 39. For I am persuaded, I am convinced, there is no shadow of turning. There is no question in my heart that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is generous to you. You might think he's given up, but I've got news. His love is more generous than that. It is uncompromising. It is unfailing. He will pursue you because he loves you. Our God is generous when it comes to healing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who himself, Jesus himself, bore our sins. He took every single sickness and disease on his own body on that tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. For by whose stripes you were healed. Luke chapter 4, verse 40, and when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them all. He's generous with his wealth and his help. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Psalms 35, verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad, whose favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. There's no area in your life that God doesn't want to bless you. Not one. Unless it's sin. God never blesses sin. That's why you run from sin and run to God. The curse of sin is the curse of the devil, which is even worse than him. But when you're in right standing before the Lord because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and because you are walking circumspectly before him, you are honoring him, you are honoring the king, you are honoring your Lord, you are honoring your owner. As you honor him, the blessings of God will chase you down and trip you up. Can I hear an amen? You see, it's time for us to get a hold of the reality of who our Father is. Some of us have had this mindset that God is some ogre, that God is some disastrous guy who sits up in heaven waiting to bash us, destroy us, and hopefully we get there someday. I don't know why you'd want to be there with him. It doesn't sound like a God that you'd want to live with for the rest of your eternity. But I want to serve the true God, for he is a loving, compassionate, sincere, sensitive, supernatural king who longs to have us as his own. You know, I had an Aunt Millie. Anybody ever had an Aunt Millie before? Aunt Millie. Let me explain Aunt Millie to you. My grandmother, Grammy Spencer, was the best Grammy in the world, besides my wife, who's grown up to be like she is a Grammy Spencer. All of Grammy Spencer's grandchildren just loved her. You'd walk into Grammy Spencer's house, and the refrigerator was open to you, everything you wanted, but Aunt Millie came to visit. Now, it's not that Aunt Millie, well, I was going to say it wasn't that she wasn't mean. I don't know. Maybe she was mean. I don't know. Aunt Millie would sit in the rocking chair. She was mean, wasn't she, Cher? She would sit in the rocking chair right near the refrigerator. And my grandma, you didn't even need to ask. If she had it, it was yours. Access. And I would go to the kitchen and I'd go to the refrigerator. I'd open the refrigerator and Aunt Millie would say, "Did you ask?" I don't know if she had that voice, but it sure felt like it. "Did you ask?" And I said, "Well, we don't have to ask." Grammy Spencer said, "You should ask." She scared the tar out of you. Some of you have Christian friends just like that. You shouldn't believe like that. Yeah, that's too big. You know, you shouldn't believe in faith for all of that. What's wrong with you? You know, sometimes you just got to accept life for what it is. But I'm here to tell you, I have to accept life for what it is. And what it is what the Word says I can have, how the Word says I can live, what the Word says God, my Creator, my Master, my Savior, has sent His Son to die for. I don't have to live in existence. I can live in victory, for I've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. And thank God that Aunt Millie lived, but I did not want her to live near me. So my question to you is this morning, how many actually pray to the God of all access? And how many of you are in Christian survival mode, living with the God of denial? I have a hard time respecting the God of denial because he always has favorites. You don't jump through the hoops good enough. You don't earn it. You can't have it. God loves Spencer more than he loves you. God loves this person more than he loves you. Well, you're more special than this person. Man, I'm telling you something. You want to talk about getting messed up in your head? When you start believing that way, you stop believing in the one true God. And we've got to have in this year of generosity a revelation in our spirit. You get up tomorrow morning. Father, I pray that you help me through the day. And watch now, Facebook, some of you shouldn't be on it. Well, I got up and it's a horrible day already. That's right. You serve a horrible God who cannot take a horrible situation and change it around. But I serve the God of transformation. I serve the God who can take what is not, and I can declare it, and it shall be. I serve a God that can bring heaven to earth in any situation. I serve a God that can make all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. I serve a God who said, I am more than a conqueror. I serve a God who said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I serve a God that says, there's nothing that shall separate me from the love of God. My God says, what does your God say? Because you're putting faith in that God, whether you like it or not. And where you put your faith is what you will receive. Because your faith level or your expectation is the breeding ground of your miracle or your demise. Where is your faith level? Who are you talking to? Who do you believe that he is? Because my God is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. And what he has promised, he is not too stingy to give. If he says it, it's so. I can trust him. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. I said, my God is faithful. You see, this God over here, he'll give you only what he wants. But this God here will give you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Even what you can think the greatest, God says, I even got more for you. Oh, but Pastor, I haven't seen that in my life. Then pray to the right God. A lot of the folks that people think that God loves them more is not that God loves them more, but they figured this out early. The earlier you can figure this out, the more the blessings will chase you down and trip you up. The more you're going to have miracles and signs and wonders be normal in your life rather than some adventure that you beg for. This is the nature of your daddy, the nature of your father, the character of the king. Remember, when we studied kingdom that whole year in 2015, every kingdom is measured by the blessed people in the kingdom. Because the king's job is to make sure that his subjects are blessed. The more blessed they are, the better king they are. But if he's your king, then you just kind of get what you get. And don't get mad at him. It's where you put your faith level. You can go now. Can you get rid of him out of your life? Will you be willing to extract him? It's only to your benefit. It's only to your blessing. It's only to your increase. It's only to your prosperity. It's only to your generosity that you extract the God of religion. You extract the God of your past. You extract the God even of experiences and put your faith in the one who said he was and is to come. He is the everlasting, the faithful, the true God, the King of Kings, and our true Lord. Can I hear an amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. You see, this is a message that has to go more than just to your ears. It has to be further than your ears. This is one of the sad parts, even a pastor. You know, I would love this place to be full. I mean, packed full. Because some people that are watching even by live stream or some people that are not here at all, if they don't hear this message, they keep relying on that poor, stingy God. And they live substandard before Jesus their whole lives. And when they get to heaven, you know what's going to really stink when they get to heaven? They're going to realize the abundance of heaven and say, why didn't I ever tap into that? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't it a shame that many will never experience heaven on earth? Because they aim their faith towards a religious God, their poor, poverty-stricken God, rather than the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What is your greatest dream? What is your greatest vision? What have you always wanted and always wanted to do? You see, God is saying, I've even got more for you than that. But I need you to start stretching and believing and declaring who I am. Not just receiving who you perceive me to be. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church or a religion, but I want you to know the generous God of forgiveness. I want you to know the one who loved you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. I want you to know the one who is many times, he's probably saved your physical life so many times and you don't even know it. It's called prevenient grace. He has stepped in when you should have died, and he saved you for this very moment that you'd be sitting in this congregation or watching by live stream. He saved you for this moment so that you can confess him as his Lord and Savior. Today, if you do not know Christ and you want to experience his generous love, you want to experience his generous forgiveness, you want to experience generous sonship or daughtership, today I want to introduce to you Jesus Christ, the one true God. Today, if you would like him as your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up. Maybe you've never accepted him before in your life, and you'd like to receive him in your life this morning. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. Is there anyone in the room that wants to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Or maybe you're in a backslidden condition. You're not sure if you take your last breath right now, if you'll go to heaven. And you want to make it right with the generous God. Is that you this morning? Raise your hand. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, come on, put your hand up. 2, and last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Please hear my heart as your pastor. Next week, you don't want to miss. I'm going to destroy some religious cows that have been mooing in your life your whole life. We're going to have a barbecue. You do not want to miss next Sunday. Some of you are going to leave this place shaking your head. I'm not going to give you man's philosophy, but I'll give you the word of God. And you're going to sit back and say, oh my goodness, I never heard that before. I did not know that. If I'd have known that, I wouldn't have believed the same way. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for the privilege of handling your word. God, it is an honor, Lord, to stand behind the pulpit and to preach the word, the constitution of the kingdom. I thank you for the honor to be able to share your nature and your character to your sons and your daughters. Now, God, I have to ask for only you, what only you can accomplish, Holy Spirit. And that is to bring the words that were spoken under the anointing of the Holy Spirit with the word of God and make it alive within each spirit in Jesus' name. God, I declare in the name of Jesus that we are healed. I declare in the name of Jesus that we are saved. I declare in the name of Jesus that you are the God that turns about and turns around those things in our lives that are meant for evil. I declare that you are the God that loves us even when we are unlovable. God, even those midnight hour moments that Jesus, you show up with your presence in our room. God, I thank you that you are so generous to us. All you needed to do, God, was send Jesus to die on the cross, and you could have stepped back, and that would have been all, God, that we even could have dreamed of. But God, what we have is so much greater than that. And that is, you truly love us. Please, Father God, I can't do it from your pulpit. Only you can do it, Holy Spirit. Bring revelation knowledge that this will become alive in us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you convict us every time we pray in doubt, every time we pray to the poor, poverty-stricken, stingy God. And let this word come alive in our spirit. Then when we pray next time, we pray with great faith knowing that you are and that you are a rewarder. You will pay, oh God, the very salary of our faith, that, Lord Jesus, we will be able to cash in and receive what you have from glory to glory. That, God, even the heaven will be released supernaturally every single day in our life called favor. And Jesus, we thank you that we're your children. Lord, I pray that you will, as you have entrusted us with your message of the gospel, that we will be faithful stewards and bring the gospel to as many people as we can in these last days. For as freely as we've received, freely we give, because you are such a good God. Thank you for your generosity, and we love you. Bless us as we travel home. Keep us safe. Keep those safe that are coming to the house right now. And Lord, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and we declare you as our Lord, our owner, our King, and as the master of our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, we love you. Have an awesome week. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you're a guest this morning, we'd love to meet you personally. Grab the person who brought you. Come right back to the room. We'd love to shake your hand and let you know we love you. If you'd like to sign up for Empowering Pastors, make sure you go right out into the foyer. If you'd like to sign up to be one of the sponsors for Uproar, go right out in the foyer. We have a place for you.
Death cannot hold.